The French fans had to settle for a monégasque to cheer for as Charles Leclerc takes yet another pole position in 2022. Welcome to episode 216 of the Grid Talk podcast. My name is Louis Edwards, and today we are going to be reviewing qualifying for the 2022 French Grand Prix. Joining me today, we have Tom Downey from the Everything F1 podcast.
Hello.
And Rachel Capusta from the Paddock Pals podcast.
Hello.
I just wanted to say this before we sort of delve into the episode, but today we were meant to have Jao Jacob from Hit the Apex Media on the podcast, and unfortunately, due to some really unfortunate circumstances, he won't be joining us today and probably not be on the podcast for a while. And we just wanted, as a podcast, as Grid Talk, want to send out, you know, thoughts and love towards Jao and his family during this time. And And if you follow Jared, if you know Jared, make sure to send him some love, send him some positive vibes. It's just from all of us at Grid Talk. Just stay strong, mate, and hopefully we'll see him back on the podcast soon. But to try and awkwardly segue this back into the Formula One, it was Charles Leclerc who took pole. Tom, that Ferrari looking very quick, but he did certainly have some help in his pole position today. And Carlos Sainz giving a nice little toe on those back straights. But to be honest, he was already like 3 tenths clear of Verstappen anyway. I think he would have taken it regardless of if Sainz gave him that toe or not.
Yeah, I think to be honest, Leclerc was going to be on pole regardless because he just seemed to have the upper hand on Max today. We saw it through the practice sessions, and we saw it in pretty much all the qualifying sessions today. Yes, Sainz did give him an enormous toe, but given that Sainz, we knew he's going to be starting from the back of the grid regardless, it makes perfect sense, because why would Ferrari effectively ruin Leclerc's chances when they know that Sainz will be starting from the back? I mean, you'd expect any team to do it. Mercedes did it with Hamilton and Bottas in Russia last year, although that didn't work out. And you know, teams have done it so many times. You know, we've seen Red Bull do it. We've seen all manner of teams do it. And like I said, it makes sense. He just looked not untouchable, but Sainz just looked like he had it all made for him today. Leclerc, I should say, looked like he had it all made for him today. And, you know, he just looked pretty comfortable in the car. We always hear drivers on the radio saying, it's rubbish in this corner. I'm getting lots of windage here in that corner. But he still put together some good laps, some very, very good laps. You know, yes, okay, one, you know, Sainz did put in that amazing lap in Q2, but let's not forget he's got a fully fresh engine in the back of that car with pretty much new everything. So given Leclerc's components are getting close to the end of their life as well, given we're sort of at that point for those components, yeah, very, very good, very, very good qualifying for him tomorrow. However, I do worry about the Ferrari's pace. Well, I don't worry because I'm a Red Bull fan, but I'm sure Ferrari fans will be worrying about the potential performance degradation tomorrow, especially with the tyres.
Yeah, Tom, you make a great point of that, actually. One I was going to bring up to you, Rachel. You've got Max Verstappen lined up alongside, but it does look, what we've seen from free practice and sort of the general expected pace of that Red Bull is going to be better than that Ferrari. Max has put himself in a perfect place to really challenge for the lead. Do you think that he does have a really good shot at the win tomorrow?
I do. I really do. Like you said, they were having so much trouble. Ferrari was with the tire degradation earlier in the practice, and Red Bull just seems to have the edge on that. Not only is it a tire issue, but it's also, you know, the overheating of the Ferrari engines. And I think I heard on the broadcast, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like traditionally people have won from pole position on this circuit. Although maybe tomorrow might be the difference with these Ferraris. But I think the Red Bulls have a really good chance. I think Max is going to give him a good old run.
Yeah, I think we would expect nothing less of Max Verstappen. And I think his quest might be made a little easier considering, Tom, that he's got his teammate Checo Perez right behind him. Red Bull do seem to have the advantage. And if, you know, they manage to get Max ahead, then they've still got Checo behind to push, even maybe for a 1-2. I mean, I'm not trying to push the boat on too much here, but maybe a 1-2 for Red Bull.
I mean, you'd love to see it, wouldn't you? Or certainly I would. I mean, you know, Ferrari, you're going to be battling certainly at the start tomorrow with somewhat one hand tied behind the proverbial back, because obviously Sainz is, like I said, starting from the back of the grid due to engine penalties. Maybe Leclerc might just actually bugger off into the distance. It might be a case that he gets a good start. He sails off into the distance. He holds off Max those first few laps, pits early, swaps to hards or something just to get rid of the softs because they're race pit.
I'm unable to do that.
Sorry, Siri. Hello. that was unexpected. I do apologize. I wouldn't be surprised if they do pit for try and get rid of the soft tire quite quickly. You know, I said hard in the micro medium because I didn't see any free practice. I don't know what the race pace is like on those. But I know Ferrari, you've got some concerns around that. If Red Bull are going to sort of force Ferrari into doing a certain strategy, they're going to need to do it early because Sainz is probably going to be scything through that field. Granted, I don't think he's at the level of like Hamilton or Max do that, or Leclerc do that kind of thing. But he's still gonna be like picking off back markers pretty quickly. It's like I would expect him. I would expect Sainz to be, I'd say, P15 by the end of the first lap, if not P14. So if Red Bull are going to do that, are going to force Ferrari, they need to do it quickly.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Rachel previously mentioned that it's a track that's typically won from pole. It's a difficult track to overtake, but we know just how quick that Ferrari is, and down that back straight, it's going to be quick. So I expect to see quite a lot of overtakes from Carlos Sainz. But moving on to P4. Rachel, is Lewis Hamilton, and the Mercedes looked a bit iffy in Q2. We were wondering, where were they? They were looking a bit on the cusp, but it turns out they were just using old tyres. They come out on the new set of tyres and have really good pace, but probably not as much pace as I was hoping, given that they've brought a massive upgrade to this track.
Yes, I was worried. I definitely was early on. I was like, oh my gosh, like this isn't going to go well. And then like even on the Sky broadcast with Ted Kravitz was like, it's bad. It's looking dismal. And then like he was corrected with, like you said, with the tire situation. But I was really thinking that they were going to be able to get maybe in the top three, maybe even on the first row, I know, which is kind of bold. But I was really thinking that we were going to see something because of the trajectory that they've been on, that they were going to do really well. And also with this being a smoother circuit, and it seemed everything was going to play right into Mercedes' hand. But I don't know. The upgrades just aren't working maybe as they thought. Glad they could pull it together because I was getting a little nervous for them, which would have been a major step back if they didn't qualify as well as they, or as well as Lewis kind of did. But yeah, I don't know what they were waiting for, but they definitely held back a little bit until right into Q3. But yeah, we'll see how they do tomorrow. Mercedes engines have been very reliable this season. So if there's any sort of blow ups, it's maybe not going to come from them. And if the Ferraris do blow up, if the Red Bulls blow up, then Mercedes could be great for them. So it's been pretty reliable. So we'll just have to see.
You've either made the biggest call ever for a Grand Prix, or you've given Mercedes the biggest kiss of death ever. and every single Merc engine blows up tomorrow in the heat. But I, for one, will not be hoping that happens because my boy Lando Norris going strong. That was really awkward to put over my headset. P5, Tom. It was an incredible lap for Norris. McLaren have brought upgrades, but given even where Daniel Ricciardo finished today, you've got to say that Lando is driving the socks off that car.
Yeah, so I'm still a bit bamboozled by you just appearing with the Lando Norris hat on your head.
I set this up. This has been on my side of my desk since we started.
I got my shirt on too.
I feel like the odd one out here. But yeah, no, Lando again, P5, you know, spitting the mercs. Whether McLaren have brought upgrades or not this weekend, I'm not sure. I think they have, looking at the side pods. Yeah, I thought so. But again, outdriving the car, outdriving his teammate. You know, his teammate was on the cusp of going out in Q1. And was never really going to make it into Q3. So it's what we've come to expect from McLaren, which is not good enough for them. Lando again, super driver in a car that does appear to be fairly difficult to drive or a bit uncompetitive. I mean, it's not 2015 Honda McLaren bad or McLaren Honda bad, but it's they are struggling a bit with the regulations this season. So yeah, so Lando, I think tomorrow he's going to get overtaken by Russell. I think that's a given. He might even get done by the Alpine. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if he can keep it in the points like P8. I think that'd be a good result for him.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, with McLaren, it's a matter of getting points. I think at this point, it's just making sure that they're consistently getting points, and if it's both cars in the points, and it's an added bonus. Of course, we do have to kind of, as we are going through these results, have to remember that both Carlos Sainz and Kevin Magnussen will be starting at the back of the grid, even though I will be reading them out later in 9th and 10th. So it's not all doom and gloom for Danny Rick fans this weekend, but we'll touch on that a little later. But as Tom rightly mentioned, P6, George Russell. You might be slightly disappointed that he's starting behind the McLaren of Lando Norris, but he's, as we said, I think the Mercedes pace in the race is probably going to be a bit too good for the McLaren, and there's definitely time for George to get back into fifth place, and let's get some more points, I guess, on the board.
Yeah, I definitely think George is going to do well in the race. He's going to fare well. I was a little shocked by his qualification performance. It's kind of like him and Lewis did a little flip-flop, because earlier in the season, like, George really got to understand the car, it seemed. And maybe with these upgrades, he's just not as comfortable yet. I mean, he qualified well. You can't say he had a bad qualification, but, Lando got the best of him, I guess, in just a little bit. But yeah, I was a little surprised. But like Tom was saying, I think that Russell's going to pass Norris right up. I don't think that's going to be an issue. But yeah, I was a little shocked, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. To be honest, I think we've seen so many good performances on a Sunday from George this week. This entire season, you know, he's evolved from Mr. Saturday to Mr. Sunday. I think he can probably get another top five under his belt. P7 for Fernando Alonso, Tom, the highest of any sort of French or French affiliated team, French driver affiliated team. I think Alpine will be happy that Alonso's in the top 10, but maybe slightly disappointed with his teammate ended up. But it just goes to show that Fernando Alonso is still just a remarkable driver, isn't it?
Yeah, Alonso has a bit of experience under his belt, you know, so he's driven a couple of Grand Prix in his time, so he does know what he's doing. It was a bit of a vintage Alonso performance, in the sense that he never does anything, you know, sort of like simply, does he? Everything's got to have a bit of flair, a bit of passion, you know, about it, you know, and he did exactly that. He's the highest, he's obviously French based, you know, there's obviously only Alpine and they don't have any junior teams. But if you look at the French sort of, French affiliates of drivers, I mean, aside from Leclerc-ish, you know, obviously he's Monegasque. But obviously he's ahead of Ocon and Gasly and anyone else who's like French related? I don't think so. You know, so like you said, you know, he's sort of like leader of the pack in that sense. I'm hoping tomorrow we'll get a sort of good old Alonso start, so that when I flick back through the onboards on Sky Q, I can just see him go absolute yeet at the inside of someone and then try and get up to like P6 or something. You know, it's a Yeah, Alonso's very Marmite. I do like him, but I do also despise him. You know, so he's it'll be, put it this way, whatever he does tomorrow, much like today, much like his whole career, it'll be done with a lot of pizzazz.
I will state by saying that I absolutely adore Fernando Alonso. Always have done. But I'll keep that for when I'm a guest rather than the host. P8, Yuki Tsunoda, Rachel, and given where Pierre Gasly is, it's not often that we see Yuki perform so well when Gasly's doing so poorly. It's, you know, we cast our mind back 12 months and we saw Tsunoda have the qualifying from hell here, causing a red flag, and now in the top 10.
Yeah, I honestly didn't even realize Yuki was in the top 10 until like pretty much right at the end. Like, I did not even realize he existed in there. Like, it was completely out of my mind and I was focusing on everyone else. Then I was like, wait a second, is that an AlphaTauri? And then I was like, well, it's not Pierre because he got out. I mean, I'm sure because he's French, it would have been nice to see them maybe swapped. But I mean, really good for Yuki. Maybe all the strong words he was getting kind of motivated him to do a little bit better, him being a problem child or whatever you want to call it. But this was a good result for Yuki. And I think it'll be good for his seat and his career, just because it's, you know, he's been kind of teetering, like, will he remain in the team? Will he not? So, you know, he needs results like this. And although maybe it wasn't very noticeable by the fans watching because he kind of flew right under the radar, but really good for him. And we'll see how he does tomorrow in the race. Might get a little lost in the start, you know, but who knows? Maybe he'll just completely kill it.
Maybe we can but hope. And especially in terms of his language, you can definitely tell he learned English from growing up or in motorsport paddocks sometimes. So now we go on to the sort of the two drivers that will be starting at the back. So Carlos Sainz officially qualified 9th, Tom, but will be starting 19th because of grid penalties, because they've had to change his engine. Obviously, it's set on fire. But he did a great job today to get into the Q3. I think the whole goal of this qualifying was for him to then give give Leclerc a tow, you know, for his final two runs.
I might just start calling you a wine soon, Louis. yeah, that's an inside joke that some people might recognize from the other podcast where I got a wine confused with Louis for some reason. Sainz is always going to be there purely to give Leclerc a tow. You know, like I said when I talked about Leclerc, it's exactly what he did. It's exactly what he needed to do. I can't lie. When I saw him set that lap in Q2, I thought, a Ferrari maybe going to let him go for it. But then I thought, no, they're going to want to do everything they can to make sure that Leclerc gets pole position ahead of Max and Perez and whoever else is going for it. So it was he's a bit of a sacrificial lamb, but given he's starting on the back row, that was always going to be the case. He did exactly what Ferrari needed him to do today. He still made it difficult for the Red Bulls when he could. He gave his teammate a brilliant tow, twice gave him a brilliant tow. And given he knew Sutton from the back, I mean, what more could you ask from him? You know, your P9 is obviously not an accurate representation of his pace, because he effectively sacrificed two of his own laps to get Leclerc that tow down into the chicane, not chicane, but you know, down the back. Is it the Michel Strait? It is.
Yes,
I think so. I can't remember
French.
Yeah, I can't remember the name offhand. But the point is, twice you saw him give Leclerc a brilliant tow down there, and yeah, it worked wonders.
Yeah, a nice bit of teamwork from Ferrari, given what's been going on over the last few weekends. It probably needed a little bit of harmony. And P10 officially, but obviously won't be starting there. Kevin Magnussen, Rachel, and just Haas had good pace. They will go on to what happened with Mick later on, but there was definitely pace in that Haas to maybe get a bit higher than 10th, maybe challenging maybe the Alpines and the AlphaTauris. So it could be an interesting race for Magnussen tomorrow, starting from the very back, could start really cutting his way through the field.
Yeah, I'm hoping he can, because that'll definitely be entertaining to watch him do that, especially with the pace that they have in that Haas. Like you mentioned, Mick, I'm sure they wish both of their drivers were kind of getting out of Q1, but it's okay. And maybe it would have been better if it was the other way around, because he is starting from the back anyway. But yeah, he was good. They were holding him in the garage so long right at the beginning of Q1. I was like, when are they going to release the beast? And then he just went in one lap and he did a great lap. And then he was just like, okay, back to the garage. So that was definitely kind of fun to watch. But yeah, he was kind of trying to, I think they're trying to like preserve their engines and stuff, was kind of what I was hearing. But yeah, not a lot to say, but it's going to be interesting seeing two people fighting through the grid. Cause a lot of times I feel like it's just kind of one that has the pace that we can watch. So it'll be interesting to see if there's two, and maybe they'll kind of team up, get some double overtakes, you know, little team switch up. I don't know. I love the entertaining stuff like that.
Basically signs just part like Moses parting the seas for Magnussen to just follow.
Yeah, he said, thank you very much, I'll take that.
Yeah, so from now on, even though I'm going to be saying where they qualified, just sort of take that, every single driver from here on up will be moving up two places. So P11 for Daniel Ricciardo, Tom, by all means pretty disappointing, but you know, on the bright side, he is starting P9. Will he stay there though? Is that the sort of the question that we need to be asking?
I mean, we can ask it, but I think we all know the answer. I mean, at least P11 is an improvement on P14, right? Danny, man. I mean, I don't even know what to say. Like, your teammates put it P5, you're not into Q3. You know, you just made it out of Q1. It's just like, it's becoming more than a, you know, we can see a distinct pattern forming now. Tomorrow, I don't know if he'll make up that many places, because we haven't seen him do it in the past, especially given, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a DRS train going down that back straight into that, you know, I don't know if you call it chicane or hairpin or whatever turn that is. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he just gets stuck in a DRS train, can't move, and then just has a bit of a dismal day. It's got to be soul destroying for him, you know. And I know he put out that thing the other day saying he's not walking away and that he's going to stay and fight. And I admire that, I really do. But you have to wonder what is worth fighting for if he can't. You know, if you just can't make it work, maybe we're seeing, you know, obviously at Renault, we saw him struggle in the first season, and then the second season, he got better. So maybe we're seeing two elements. Maybe we're seeing that twice over at McLaren, because obviously we've had big new regulations this year, and it's maybe he's taking longer to adjust to it. But it's not like he's an inexperienced driver, you know, he's a. Maybe he's a bit of a one-trick pony, but he's a Red Bull. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what tomorrow brings from him. Points unlikely, though.
Yeah, I mean, we've been seeing a whole list of drivers being either signed up for McLaren or testing for McLaren. We had even Red Bull Junior, Jehan Deruvala, Alex Palou, the series, Rosenquist has signed a new deal. Of course, they've got people like Colton Herta who have been testing, or Alexander Pato, and Pato Award, sorry. Alexander Pato is a Brazilian footballer. Pato Award, who are all could take a seat. There's a surprising amount of drivers that could potentially take a seat, and unfortunately performances like what we've seen today are not ideal. Rachel, Ocon P12 will be starting P10, highest of the French drivers. I think his goal for tomorrow will not only be helping his team get points, but he gets some points in front of his home fans.
Yeah, even though they didn't give him his own grandstand and only Pierre has one, which is kind of weird. I don't know. That would, if I was Esteban, I would feel a certain way about that. But anyways, his driving today, I think that they would have wanted him to do better. He just couldn't seem to get the pace out. In the race, it's hard to tell with Esteban because sometimes I feel like he has really great days where he does awesome things. Now, sometimes he's just not on. Hopefully in front of his home grandstands and home crowd, like it'll give him that energy to really make some good overtakes and finish in the points, which would be the ultimate goal for him, obviously. But I don't know, 12 is a little disappointing, in my opinion, for the Alpines and for Esteban. But we'll see if tomorrow he's on and he can make his way through. Hopefully he doesn't get stuck in that same DRS train that Daniel Ricciardo will be in, but we'll see. But I'm hoping he can finish up in the points, but only we'll have to tell. It's kind of like I said, he's on, he's off, so it'll just be how he's feeling tomorrow morning, I guess.
Yeah, hopefully he gets good breakfast. P13, Valtteri Bottas. There's not really much you can really say about the Alfa Romeos, is there, Tom? You know, they've been looking fairly solid over the last couple of weekends, but they kind of dropped off. Joe also completely outside the top 10. Is there much that you're really going to expect from Valtteri Bottas tomorrow, or would you expect him to stay more or less where he is?
No, I expect him to stay more or less where he is. You know, he might get some. Some perhaps performance increase or not performance increase, but you know, he might benefit from a safety car or you know from a you know, slow start or a DNF in front of him, something like that. But I think in terms of like positions on merit, I think it's unlikely. I don't have an awful lot else to say about Bottas. He just didn't quite work out for him in Q2 for him today, unfortunately, which is a shame because I do like Bottas.
Yeah, unfortunately, it wasn't the best. And also, Sebastian Vettel, P14. Looks like he's getting the most out of that Aston Martin, really. I don't really know what else he can really do at the moment. Points seem quite a long way off, unless some incredible strategy or luck comes their way tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm thinking similar to Bottas. He'll just be kind of staying in the same place. He's really getting all he can get out of that Aston Martin. It's just, maybe it's a beautiful car. It's lovely to look at, but I don't know. He's just getting as much as he can out of it. It just seems like they can't make any sort of gains with that car to even put it anywhere super competitive. So yeah, not a lot to say about Vettel. I wish there was, because I'm a huge Sebastian Vettel fan. So I wish I had a lot to say, but not much to say about him.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, when we start getting this far down the grid, there is very little you can say because there's only 10 points placed up to grabs and the rest have to scrap for themselves, basically. But at least with the next driver, Tom, there is a little bit of a story. Alex Albon had a bit of a spin at the end of Q1, caused the yellow flags. He's like caused a few issues for people, but then managed to get through to Q2 anyway because Mick Schumacher had his lap time deleted. But even then, P15 was the best he could do.
Yeah, a few people got a bit sort of done in by Albon's little pirouette on the back straight. Yeah, and I got a bit, when I watched it, my eyesight going a bit cross-eyed like that because the blinking runoff strips, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, they legitimately give me a headache sometimes. So I sort of have this, I might have to watch the race in darkness tomorrow to try and avoid a migraine. So seeing Albon spin across them was not fun. I say he did well to get out of Q1. He got out because he spun on the entry and into the corners that are on the back straight, and then brought up the yellow flag. However, interestingly enough, the yellow flag was not the reason Mick Schumacher had his time deleted. Mick Schumacher had his time deleted because he apparently went all four wheels off, I think, turn three, not because of the yellow flag. So I've just read that and I've just reminded myself. If that's already been said, I apologize. But I was just trying to read it to remind myself what happened to the back end of the grid, because it's sort of like just getting rid of the rubble before you get to the top 10 shootout. Albon, he caused issues for Guanyu Zhou as well. You know, brought out the yellow flag when Zhou was on a good lap. It's nice to see Williams into Q2. You know, it's not quite Gotifi from Silverstone. Whether they'll get anything from it tomorrow, I don't know. You know, I certainly not expecting points. Unless he does another masterstroke strategy like he did in Australia, perhaps.
Yeah, we could only see what's going to happen. P16, Pierre Gasly, I think out of all of these results, especially down the bottom, this is the one that maybe be a bit the most disappointing. As we were talking earlier about Yuki, he's done great, but we really didn't expect Gasly to be this far down. The AlphaTauri is not a bad car. It's not a good car, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, he had really good pace on Friday in practice one and practice two. So, and then earlier today in practice three, he kind of lost some of that pace. I don't know if there was some setup change or whatever that kind of made him lose that. But yeah, it's definitely disappointing in front of the home crowd. I was sad to see him get knocked down for sure, but a little shocked too, because his pace looked really good. I mean, I think on like practice one and two, he was definitely in the top 10. I don't know exactly where he landed, but so yeah, definitely a little bit shocking and unsure really what happened there. Interesting to dive into that just to kind of see. I'm hoping tomorrow he can kind of make it through the field a little bit, show his home crowd something good and get his grandstand pumping.
Yeah. I think Gasly will be able to make up a few positions. I think qualifying just kind of went maybe a bit against him today. P17, Tom, my favourite Canadian, Lance Stroll, did what he does best, doesn't he? Goes out in Q1.
Hashtag just Stroll things. Wiles. I have nothing to say. I'm struggling to find the words. And for a man who talks a lot of rubbish, I'm really struggling to find the words for Stroll. Just get good, for God's sake. You were showing some promise a few years ago.
Oh no, he was just so angry. He's so much garbage. You can't even roast Lance, I guess.
Rachel, have you got anything to say on Lance Stroll?
I mean, honestly, no, just because it's just so, it's exactly what you would have expected from him today. You know, he did exactly what we'd expect. It'd be great if he would surprise us for once and kind of get out of Q1, but no, exactly.
Welcome back, Tom.
Apologies for that. My Zoom decided to do a stroll and went out in Q1.
I mean, in all fairness to Lance Stroll, I mean, that Aston Martin isn't a good car. You know, we've really not seen what we expected from Aston Martin, especially over these last couple of years. It has been a faltering car, and it's been, I don't know, it feels just like the entire organisation is a bit, not backwards, but definitely just not on it in terms of, you look at what, you know, Haas have been able to do this year, what Williams have even been able to do with Alex Albon this year. We've really, really yet to see, apart from like the odd point finish here and there, we've really had seen something excellent from Aston Martin this year. Unfortunately, we've seen Vettel being dragged down because of it. And it's just not, it's not great to see, especially when we were all looking forward to Aston Martin coming back to the sport. I knew I definitely was. Rachel, we'll stay with you anyway for Zhou Guan Yu. P18, I think like similar to what I said about Bottas, really. There's not really that much pace in that out from Romeo for this track. It just, it's been looking good, but clearly this track just doesn't seem to suit it very well.
Yeah, he kind of just did what I thought he would do. Maybe a couple places up, maybe he would have ended up there closer to his teammate. But at the same time, it, like you said, it's this track is just not doing great things for the Alfa Romeo. So there's only so much that Zhou and Bottas can even do. So yeah, not that surprised where he ended up today. Honestly, don't even think I saw him do one lap. I don't even think they showed him on the broadcast or anything. It was just, you know, he just set his lap and that was it. He couldn't do any better.
Yeah, it's not much to say. The P19, Tom, Mick Schumacher, and he set a phenomenal lap in Q1, got himself up to like sixth, seventh place before it was probably deleted, for, as you rightly said, for cutting the corner at turn three. But, you know, like we were saying about Kevin Magnussen, it does appear that this Haas does have pace. So, unlike last year, we're not going to be expecting him to be staying at the back of the grid.
No, far from it. And it's definitely not a good representation, or it's definitely not an accurate representation of Mick today. You know, it's he was on course for a damn good lap, and we saw it in Q1. Unfortunately, he was just all four wheels off the track. I mean, it was the finest of margins, but you know, we've been talking about consistency or the rest of it. You have to give it. I was, you know, really, really gutted for him because it was, you know, he did put in such a good lap to get that car up there. And also, like you said, Louis, you know, that Haas is, it's looking quick. You know, it looks like it's got genuine pace, which obviously we couldn't say for them last year. So his qualifying today is not an accurate representation of his speed and that car speed. And it's also, we're beginning to see a bit more aggression come up from him, which I think is good because he's been very nice, you know, very sort of like chummy or the rest of it. But you've got to be a bit of a if you look at like some of the best drivers, they always have something about them where it sort of makes other people go, kind of thing. I'm trying not to swear, you know, but and a bit of that is beginning to come out in Mick, which is exactly what we need to see. So yes, you know, he's doing well. Hopefully he'll start working his way up the field tomorrow. I'd hope so. I'd like to see him certainly get close to getting points. I'd really love to see him get points three races on the bounce, but unfortunately, this quality position has not helped. So I'm not holding out too much hope. But it's a nice to have if he can get them.
Mm-hmm. And then, Rachel, we come to the creme de la creme of coffee. Nicholas Latifi. P20. I don't know. Is there anything you'd like to say about Nicholas Latifi apart from maybe William should start looking elsewhere for a second driver?
I think that Goat Tiffy just let the other drivers have a turn. He hung back so other people could have a turn winning because, you know, it's Goat Tiffy. Just kidding, obviously. But yeah, it's where you expect him to be. Again, he doesn't surprise us very often. But yeah, we'll see who's in that seat next year. I think that'll be a more interesting topic to talk about than talking about his performance today.
Yeah, I mean, Mercedes had Nick de Vries doing free practice one instead of Lewis Hamilton this weekend. It could be a telltale sign that he's going to get the nudge. But now we've gone through all 20 drivers, so it's time for the predictions, of course. So, Tom, start with you. Your podium for tomorrow.
Max, Charles, and Paris. I'm gonna be boring.
It's you know, it's a It's a legitimate one. Verpair Lek is the new Hambear bot these days. So, Rachel, what's your podium prediction for tomorrow?
I'm not feeling very confident in the Ferraris in the heat, and I think Ferrari might go boom. So I'm going to go Max, Perez, and Hamilton.
Okay. See, I was thinking of also putting Hamilton on the podium. Maybe the Leclerc's engine doesn't make it to the end, but I'm gonna go maybe a little bold and say Leclerc will hold on. Then it will be Verstappen. Then I'm going to go George Russell, my podium tomorrow. And that segues nicely onto the bold predictions, Tom. give us your bold prediction for tomorrow.
I don't know. Both AlphaTauris and the points. Don't know if that's bold or wishful.
Okay, and Rachel?
I'm going to go with what I said on our podcast earlier this week. All the French and French-associated team drivers finish in the points. So that's Alonso, Gasly, and Ocon.
Okay. I'd probably just go with my normal one of Latifi for the points. Even though last week it was Latifi to not get lapped two times, which just about happened. That is all from us today. If you are watching the stream live on YouTube, you'll know that we live stream all of our shows. Thank you for joining in our shows, and you can leave comments and we'll discuss them in our post shows. But if you are listening to this later, just know that we do live stream all of our shows, and if you want to listen to them, you know, as they are recorded, make sure to check out our YouTube channel and give it a like and subscribe and turn bell notifications on so you're notified every time that we go live. And if you're one of the 61% of people who listen to our podcast but don't subscribe on YouTube, please consider a subscriber. We're trying to chase to 1,000 subscribers. So if you could do that, that would be greatly appreciated. And if you enjoy the podcast, we'd love to leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you do, you'll be automatically going to our monthly draw to win a Grid Tour T-shirt from our championship range of merch. We're also available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Omni Studio, Verbal, as well as the F1 Chronicle website. So just search for the Grid Tour podcast. You can also check out the write-up for this qualifying session on the F1 Chronicle website as well. We have a huge back catalogue of shows, so if you're stuck for something to listen to between now and the race tomorrow, we have over 200 shows for you to listen to, including our Fireside podcast, which is a bit more conversational, and we also have interviews with people like Mario Zola from Pirelli, and more documentary-style ones, like ones about Ayrton Senna and the 1994 Benetton conspiracy. We have a Patreon, so if you'd like to support the podcast with better mics, lights, and recording equipment for all our hosts, any donations are very much appreciated, and you can give as much or as little as you like. And you can also support the podcast by getting yourself some F1 Grid Talk merch. Just go to the f1chronicle.com/store. Right, after that's all the way, let's get on to our guests, and we'll start with you, Tom. Where can our viewers find more from you?
I think people know where I'm going with this, but I'm part of Everything F1. You can find us across all our socials. The handle at Join the F1, so that's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. I think that's all of them. But to have our YouTube channel, Everything F1, we have our website, which is everythingf1.com, where we do race reviews, quality reviews, unpopular opinions, basically anything motor. Basically, if it's got four wheels, we'll write something about it. And if it's a race car, I should add. Yeah, I've done a few bits on there. I've got a few more in mind. I just need to sit down and write them. And then last but by absolutely no means least, we have our Everything Up On podcast, which goes out usually on a Wednesday. It's a preview, review, all of the above, depending on if we're on a back-to-back weekend. And we also have some good guests on as well. So, yeah, please give it a listen.
Thank you. And Rachel, you're part of the Paddock Pals. Where can they find more from you?
Yeah, I'm from the Paddock Pals podcast. It's a family affair. I do it with my cousin, Warren. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, all those good things. We also have social media accounts on Twitter. We're at Paddock Pals. On Instagram, we're at Paddock Pals Podcast. And then we just started a TikTok. So we're kind of trying to figure out how to incorporate that. So our TikTok is Paddock Pals Podcast. We do a lot of not just technical, neither of us have any sort of like technical background that we understand. So we play a lot of games and do a lot of just fun things on the podcast. So if you want to see more of that kind of on that side of it, instead of like the, we don't know a lot of the nitty gritty technical aerodynamic stuff like that. So we substitute that with a lot of fun games and a couple of guests.
Amazing. And if you want to find me on social media, on Twitter, I'm at L_G_Edwards. Otherwise, you can mostly find me on here because I am a semi-regular host. So make sure to subscribe to the Grid Talk podcast. So thank you for both my guests for joining me today. And we'll be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. at British Summer Time. So until then, stay safe and goodbye.